Good morning and greetings to each one of you. In Jesus' name, it's good to be here. Again, it feels like the last month or so we've been kind of busy and kind of missing. It's good to be here. Appreciated the new verse on our whiteboard over here. The thought of life and death is a thought I'd like to think about this morning. Because God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us also. What is life? It's an interesting thought. I don't know if I ever actually sat down and tried to write a definition for life. I didn't even do it in studying for this sermon. What is life? What does it mean to live or to be alive? These thoughts that I have this morning are kind of a compilation of the fact that 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, we had a new baby in our home, and there was life, and it's a miracle every time I witness the birth of a baby or see a baby come into the world. It's a tremendous miracle of life. And it's been 4 weeks ago on Tuesday. This coming Tuesday, it'll be 4 weeks since my dad's accident. And you think about life. Think about death. Thankfully, we have had the opportunity to interact with Dad some since then. But you start to ask yourself questions about what if that's the last time that I get to talk to my dad? And you think about that in a totally different sense than we do when we're going about our day-to-day life. What if today is the last day that you're alive, that I'm alive? What if today is the last day that your husband or wife is alive? What if today is the last day that your brother or sister or someone you're sitting beside is alive? It's good that God doesn't tell us those things. It's good we don't know those things. But it's also good for us to ask ourselves that question and to ponder what life is. And when I come to the end of my life, be that soon or be that 40, 50 years from now, when I come to the end of my life, what will I have done that I'm glad that I did? What will I have done that I will look back at and say, you know what, that was a waste of time? I met a fella in the waiting room in Hershey, and he had had a stroke of some sort several years back where he was unconscious for either 5 days or 5 weeks. I couldn't understand him very well. He was an Indian fellow and his English was somewhat limited, but he was unconscious for a period of time. But today he is very functional, runs a business of installing software for huge companies. He was telling me what he did for Home Depot the other week. And we were talking about life a little bit. And I told him that one of the things that God is teaching me, he professed to be a Christian, I told him one of the things God has been teaching me is that the only purpose of life is to give life and to be a blessing to others. What can I do for others? And I thought through his broken English that we were on the same page at first, only to discover that he was saying the exact opposite of what I was saying. He was saying that after his close call with death, he decided that he has this opportunity to do what he wants to do now and to live for himself. He said, "You can give and you can give and you can give, but this is my time." And it startled me so badly, I didn't know how to recover the conversation, because I thought we were on the same page, and here we're saying drastically different things. And it just really made me think about what life is about. The purpose of this message this morning is to convince myself more fully, and hopefully you as well, that the purpose of life is to give life. The purpose of life is to give life. We're going to think about that in several different senses. I don't really have a text verse or a summarizing thought, so we're going to kind of just go into the message. And the first point I'd like to look at is that God is the life giver. The title of my message is The Life Giver. And I'd like to first of all think about God, the life giver. You can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 13 says this: "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus and before Pontius Pilate, witnesseth the good confession." But what I want to get out of there is that God quickeneth all things. It's kind of a little clause inserted into there. It's not the point of the verse. God quickeneth all things. Quickeneth means to make alive. God makes everything alive. Quickens all things. I want you to think about any form of life. Think about plant life. It's made by God, right? Think about human life. It's made by God. Think about spiritual life. It's made by God. At the end of the day, life always comes from God. Life always comes from God. God is life. John 6, 35 says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." God is life. John 14, 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." I want to think about, I want to help us think just a little bit this morning. Draw a box here. Hopefully you can read what I want to write. Physical life and physical death. We're talking about human life, or life of man, specifically now. We're not going to think much about plant life. I just threw that in there for a little bit. But we all have physical life. Now, I don't know what your health is this morning. I know there's been a lot of sickness. But we all have physical life. And there's a reason I put an arrow there. When I initially did this, I divided it into boxes. And the longer I thought about it, the more I saw it as a gradient and not a box. We have life, and you can be in superb physical condition, or you can be very close to death. You still are alive, but you can think of that gradient as your health. And I guess you could also think about the case of like a near-death accident, those kind of things, where that places you on this spectrum. But there's life and there's death. Up at the top here, I'd like to put spiritual life. And spiritual death. and that goes this way. So the reason I initially divided it into boxes is because you can think about, to generalize it, you can think about four different kinds of people. You can, it was not intentional that these fellows had not connected to the next. They are the physically dead, but you can think about a person who has physical life and spiritual life. You can think about a person who has physical life but is spiritually dead. And initially that's where I stopped, but the longer I thought about it, these two are possibilities as well. A person who is physically dead, he has ceased to exist on this world, and therefore is either spiritually dead or spiritually alive, depending on the way he lived his life, depending on what his life was. So you can have a person who is physically dead, but he's spiritually alive, living with Christ. And a person who is physically dead and spiritually dead, never chose to walk with Christ. We're not going to spend a lot of time thinking about those who are physically dead, because we know that when you're physically dead, when I am physically dead, there's not much I can do about the choices I made in life. And we know that when my brother or sister is physically dead, or my dad or grandpa, or there's not much I can do to change. The condition is sealed. But at this point is where we find ourselves, right? Somewhere in here. Now maybe I should actually have a line here, because you cross that line. I should have a line there somewhere for the and technically there's a line here somewhere too. This line is a little harder to define sometimes, maybe, between spiritual life and spiritual death. But I do want to put a line there, because there's some things that... Okay, so all men will die, right? All men will die. A few cases have been resurrected and crossed back over that line from physical death to physical life. And we know that the Bible tells us that at the end of time, all men will be resurrected. And I believe that means a new body, a new physical body. Doesn't mean it will be exactly like this one. I'm not going to go into that a whole lot this morning. There's some really interesting things to study there. It talks about being caught up together in the clouds, quickening our mortal bodies. This vile body will be changed and will be made like unto his glorious body. There's a lot of interesting things to consider in that. We also know that this line here, wherever it actually is, can be crossed over as well. Both directions. We can die spiritually. We can be made alive spiritually. But we know that in all cases, Christ is the life giver. Life comes from God. I thought about Ephesians 4:5 here. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. We were dead, we were spiritually dead, and he quickened us together and made us spiritually alive. There's a lot of interesting things. I didn't take a lot of time because I don't want to spend the whole morning here, but I wanted us to think about life. What is life? God is the life giver. God created and creates physical life. God created and creates physical life. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 1. I just want us to go back and read this. Maybe I'll say this now because I'm not sure where to put it. Well, I'll save it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Jump down to verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. You see the concept of life? It doesn't use the word life here. It's talking about plant life. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the third day. Jump down now to verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And then I want to get chapter 2, verse 7 yet. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We could talk again, you've heard me talk about this before, about the different kinds of life, plant life, animal life, and human life, and how they are distinctly different, and how God created them distinctly different. Animal life was spoken, plant life was spoken into existence. Animals were formed of the dust of the ground, just like man was. Chapter 2, verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Animals were formed out of the ground just like we are. That's why they have a similar composition to mankind. Man was formed out of the dust of the ground, but there's a distinct difference. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so it just amazes me how there's distinct differences in the kingdoms, the kinds of life, and there's distinct differences in how God created it. God created and creates physical life. And I want to come back again specifically to thinking about human life. I don't know if you ever, I talked about the miracle of human birth or human life, a baby being born. Did you ever try to create life? Try to create a baby? That's God's doings. God creates life. None of us can explain what happens at conception when that child is conceived. None of us can explain how to make that heart start beating. None of us can explain how to make that brain start having function. None of us can explain how to create that child so that the moment it's born, its lungs start working, but not before that. Can you do that? I can't. I can't even explain it, much less try to create it. God creates life. I wonder sometimes, don't know if I should say this or not. But I appreciate what God allows us to do in the medical world with life, in repairing life, sustaining life. How far can you go with that? How far does God want mankind to mess with life? I'm raising a very open-ended question. I want you to understand that. I'm not trying to insinuate anything by that. One of the things the Bible is clear about is that God controls life. Genesis 29:31 says, "And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." God controls it. God controls it. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 127, I believe it is. I thought I put it on my notes, but it's not here. Psalm 127, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." God creates life. He says, children are an heritage of the Lord. Children are the inheritance that God gives to us. Children, I strongly believe, and if you can find verses to show me otherwise, please do, but I strongly believe that God sees children as his way of blessing us. God sees children as his way of blessing us. Our society has been training us to see it the other way around. Our society has been training us to see children as a bother and a curse. Children are a blessing from God. Why wouldn't I receive the blessing of God into my life? Why wouldn't I want the blessing of God in my life? God holds the strings to life in his hands. God decides when life is created. God decides when life ends. A subject to consider. It's not my subject this morning, but what does the sovereignty of God look like in the subject of the sanctity of life? Put those two subjects together and ponder that for a while. The sanctity of life and the sovereignty of God. God creates physical life. I need to move on. God creates spiritual life. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 9, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." God gives life. Sorry, I wanted to read 12 and 13 yet. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. God is the author of physical life. God is the author of spiritual life. Spiritual life comes from God. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Revelation 21:6, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." I wish I could spend more time here, but I'm going to rush through this since I spent too much time on God giving physical life. God gives spiritual life as well. I want to get to the last part of my message, though, and so I'm going to skim through that part. The last part of my message, the first part was God the life giver. The second part, and I want you to put your name in the blank, but David the life giver, Leo the life giver, Arnold, the life giver. Put your name in the blank. And I want to think about how we give life. You're going to say, well, wait a minute. I thought you just said God gives life. Yes, all life comes from God. But as God has placed us here on this earth, and as we ponder what life is about, I told you at the beginning, the purpose of this message is to understand that the purpose of life is to give life. How do we give life? The first thing I want you to think about how you can give life is the fact that you are not an island. I am not an island. I want to try to keep this personal. I am not an island. I am affecting others. It's easy for us to forget, but it's so true. When you stop and think about it, it's kind of a no-brainer because we're around people a lot. We're around other people. And we will affect them. I will affect them. I am not an island. I am affecting others. God created us as social beings. God created us with the ability and a certain amount, some more than others, a desire to socialize. Now, sometimes I push things a little too far, but just stay with me. Everything that I do, say, or even think is in some way giving or taking life. Everything that I do, say, or even think is in some way giving or taking life. Because I am a person of influence, and I'm not saying that in a... Because people influence each other. Who I am, in every minute detail, some way minutely affects someone else. It just does. What about the things when I'm by myself? What about the music I listen to just because I like it? What about when I'm by myself, the things that I think, the places I go? The reason I say it matters is because you are either serving yourself or you're serving others. You're either serving yourself or you're serving others. And if you're living for self, in some way you are taking life from someone else. If I am living for self, sorry, I just said I'm going to try to keep this personal. If I am living for self, I am in some way robbing life from someone else. Maybe this is why Jesus said that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is the same as a murderer. It's the same as if you killed him. It was interesting to think about. Let's consider the perfect life giver. We already did a little bit of that. The perfect life giver. Go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, starting at verse 1. He says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Jesus came to this earth as a human baby who had every right to be born into the best palace that world could offer. He had already given up part of his godness to become the God-man. He became a tiny, helpless baby. He had given all that up. He had every right to be born into the best palace that world could offer, but he didn't. He was born in a manger, a stable. Furthermore, as he grew and understood, it says he grew in understanding. I don't even understand all of that, but as he grew and understood his role on earth, he had every right to try to advance himself, try to demand other people serve him. Is that what he did? He was the servant. It says that he humbled himself became obedient unto death. Somewhere in that same context, it says he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. The form of a servant. Our life giver, the perfect life giver. One of the other things that we need to consider about me giving life is I need to find my life in God, not in things. I need to find my life in God, not in things and not in other people giving me life. You know people like that, right? You know people whose life is about other people giving them life. I need to find my life in God. I wanted to bring an object lesson along, but I did not get it prepared. But if we'd have a row of cups here, and the cups would typify a person's life. Well, actually a person, a body. And we'd fill them with water from a big pitcher. Best would be to have a garden hose out of Lake Gordon. But even so, that's limited. But that water being poured in there would represent God giving life, okay, into each of those cups. So I have a cup, and my cup is full of water. But I also have, as a cup, I have a choice of what I'm going to do with that water. See, we can pour that water into other people's cups out of our cup. We can hoard that for ourselves and say, no, I'm not going to give. I'm not going to serve. I'm going to live like that fellow that I told you about. This is my chance. I'm going to live the way I want to. I'm going to accomplish the things I want to. It's for me. Do you know what happens when you stop putting water in this cup and let it sit here and do a long experiment? After a while, there's no water left in the cup, right? It's sobering to think about. But what happens if the cups start dumping water into each other? I know evaporation still happens. But as we receive life from God and pour it out into others, my cup never gets empty. Because other people are pouring back in. The golden rule applies. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And you know what? When you do that, other people do the same thing back to you. That's the way it works. I don't know that we struggle with this a lot in our small congregation, but when you have a large group of people who are supposed to be relating to each other, you can form clique groups. You're all familiar with the term, right? And I thought of this illustration way back when I was teaching school, so some of these scenarios are more applicable there. But what happens in a clique group is those cups all start pouring in a circle, a closed system. They're not receiving any outside anymore. It's a closed system. And after a while, the water runs out. But God is the life giver. Be sustained from that external source so that I can give. I can give physical life. Here's where I had Psalm 127. I got confused in my notes. Children are an heritage of the Lord. I just did a quick Google search, and I came across the fact. I guess it's fact. Nationally, there are 1.3 million abortions in America. 1.3 million abortions, which is 3,562 abortions a day. That's staggering to me. People are taking life. But I'm challenged by what I already said, that mentality does actually wear off on me, to the fact that I can start to see children as a bother rather than a blessing. I am capable of that. I am influenced by that. I'm affected by that. I can contribute to the physical well-being of others. Matthew 25:34 talks about, Jesus said, "You saw me naked and you clothed me. You saw me in prison and you came and visited me. You saw me hungry and you fed me." And these people say, "Lord, when did we do that?" They were giving life to others. They were contributing to the physical life of others. We can contribute to the spiritual life of others. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We are called to be life givers of spiritual life. We are called to impart life. Now, there is nothing that I can do to give you spiritual life that happens between you and God, but yet there is something that I can do to give you spiritual life. I can be the vessel that God pours that spiritual life through into your life. The life still comes from God, but I am called to be a vessel, to give spiritual life to others. We're not going to take the time to turn there, and I don't have the verse written on my notes, but in Acts chapter 20, verses 25 to 27, Paul says something like this, that I have a clear conscience, or their blood is not on my hands. And he's talking about spiritual life. He says, "I told them the gospel. I proclaim to them the gospel. Their blood is not on my hands." He is innocent of taking life. See, when we don't give life, we are in some way taking life. If a doctor knew how to save a sick person, but he didn't do it, doesn't he become guilty of not helping? Doesn't he become an accomplice to the death? We are called to be givers of spiritual life. I want to just think of a few, in closing here, just a list here of random thoughts of how my life is supposed to be about living for others, how I can bless others. This is entirely random. I jotted things down as I thought of them, so there's no order of importance or anything. Give others the benefit of the doubt. Give others the benefit of the doubt. I am amazed how easily we assume bad things about other people. That probably became especially clear to me when I worked in the pellet mill, and we didn't talk a lot. The fellow that works back there and I, we didn't talk a lot, but how easy it was to assume what I thought that he was thinking about me. It was startling how easy that is to start assuming what he thinks or she thinks about me. Let's give others the benefit of the doubt. Let's give them life. See how that works? When I assume the worst about them, I hinder our relationship. I build walls instead of open communication. Respect others. Don't gossip and slander. Gossip and slander take life. Respect others. Talk respectfully of others, and that's one that is extremely challenging to me. How easy it is to, it kind of goes with that benefit of the doubt thing, but how easy it is to slander and just say negative and nasty things about other people. Don't gossip, don't slander. Share. Children, this is a lesson we try to drill into our children, right? Share your toys. Share. This is what it means to share. What does it mean for adults to share? Oh, we don't have to? You have your stuff, I have my stuff? It's the way we tend to operate as adults, pretty much, isn't it? What does it mean to share? If you have a tool that I would like to use, am I allowed to ask you if I may borrow it? Or is that off limits? Yesterday we butchered some pigs. We went to borrow a meat grinder to make sausage and a sausage stuffer in this fellow's basement. And we were planning to take all our meat back home and package it then. And he said, oh, I have a vacuum packer over here. You can use my bag, stuff it up, and let's get it all done. That's sharing. Let's share, adults. Do things for others' pleasure, not my own. Do things for others' pleasure, not my own. How much of my life do I spend consumed with making sure that I am comfortable, making sure that I am pleased? I don't want to go there tonight. We're not going. Money is only for this life. How easy is it to give? How easy is it to keep it for myself? Money is only for this life. Time is only for this life. You know that? My time, that I think is so important sometimes, it's only for this life. Be honest. And I especially put be honest in my business dealings with others. How do they see me? Do they see me as fair? Do they see me as actually giving them the baker's dozen, making sure that they get the benefit? Or do they see me as making sure that I got a pretty good, I drove a pretty hard line there, I made a pretty good deal? And that goes both ways. That goes when you're selling and that goes when you're buying. It goes both ways. Do I drive a hard line to get the best price possible? Are you taking life by doing that? Do I drive a hard line as a salesman to make sure I get the highest profit margin possible? Are you taking life by doing that? Am I? Sorry, I'm making this personal. Talk to the homeless man on the street. Give life. Bless him in whatever way you can. Listen to others' hearts. It's pretty easy to hear somebody but not listen to them. Something I need to learn. They have reasons for the way they act and the things they say. Listen to their heart. Spend time with my children in their interests. Please others, not myself. Live for others. Tell my family that I love them while I can. We don't know when God will cross any life from physical life to physical death. But we have a window called time where we get to choose what we are doing with our life. Are we giving our life to others? Or are we trying to bottle it up and keep it for ourselves, and by so doing, taking life that we could give instead? Let's kneel together for prayer. Father in heaven, come to you this morning, grateful for the opportunity to be alive. Grateful for the opportunity to be alive, not only physically, but also spiritually. And Lord, as we claim and receive your spiritual life, we pray that we could pour that life out to others. And Lord, it even seems that if we're claiming that spiritual life, but we're not able to pour it out to others,
Maybe we're not as alive as we think we are. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to consider our lives, to consider our actions, to consider our words, and consider our thoughts. And to consider how what we've done, said, or thought may have robbed life from someone else. Help us, Lord, to like you as you lived here on this earth, not live for our own pleasure, but to seek how we can please others and how we can bless others and how we can pour life into their lives. Let's pray that you would help us each to be real with our lives and to honestly consider what you have called us to do. I pray that you would go with us, bless the remainder of our service, with the ones who teach the Sunday school classes, and just bless them and help us to learn more of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.